breaking free from bitterness. Hebrews chapter number 12, look there in verse number 14. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There in verse 15, going to break free from bitterness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful again to be in your house. And Lord, grateful again for the opportunity to open your word and preach from your word. And Lord, I just pray you'll fill me with your spirit here today. And I pray, Lord, that you use me to speak to folks here today and even over the internet, Lord. And we're looking here at bitterness, and this is a sin that can affect anyone and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that our prayer here today is to search my heart, O God. Search me, Lord, as we go through this. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you do. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want you to keep one thing in mind as we go, that as we go through this today, I want you to keep these words in mind, okay? We have all been forgiven way more than we will ever have to forget. Think about that. We have all been forgiven more than what we will ever have to forgive someone for. All right, so just keep that in mind. Now, Satan desires to use bitterness in your life to destroy you. Okay, that's his point blank. He wants to destroy you, and he can use bitterness to destroy you and those around you. It's one of his greatest tools he can use to defeat you and to defeat those around you. Okay, bitterness will not only destroy your life, but it will destroy those around you. Many people in church today are miserable because they have allowed bitterness in their hearts, bitterness to hinder them from having a relationship with God. All right, now look there in verse 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and get this, and thereby many be defiled. Did you see that there? Many will be defiled through the sin of bitterness. Many be defiled. Bitterness in our life will affect all of those around us. A bitter husband or a bitter wife will affect our children. It affects our other family members. It even affects our friends. But you know, it comes down to, you know what bitterness really is? Bitterness is nothing more than allowing your flesh to control your life. Think about that. Bitterness is nothing more than allowing our flesh to control us. Right? We're not being led by the Spirit. We're more so being led by the flesh. I mean, every single one of us in here, we realize life is not fair, right? We all understand life is not fair, and that people can be extremely mean and rude, and yes, even sometimes Christians in the church house can be, unfortunately. But many people are bitter today because they have been hurt. They have been hurt. Something did not go the way they wanted it to go in their life. And they may have been hurt at church. They may have been hurt outside of church. Maybe a job didn't go the way they wanted it to go. The marriage didn't go the way they wanted it to go. They don't have a home the way they want it to go. But the circumstances in life has changed, or something has happened, and they have allowed that root of bitterness into their hearts, okay? Bitterness is a serious issue. Now, last week we looked at gossip, right? Gossip is also a serious, serious thing. But this week we're looking at bitterness, and bitterness is a serious issue as well. And the Bible warns us over and over again that it can spring up. It can spring up quickly, all right? Bitterness can spring up quickly, and that devil, he's right there to do it to you, right? He is quick to give you plenty of reasons to harbor bitterness in your heart. All right? We got to be aware of that. And many people will fall into this pit of bitterness and never get out of it. Many people eventually die in that pit of bitterness. In Acts chapter 8, verse 23, the Bible says, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." That doesn't sound like much fun, does it? Doesn't sound like much fun at all. The gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. But hey, we need to take heed today. We need to take heed as Christians, because the Bible warns us that we are to not let this root get roots. We are to be aware of our heart. We are to search my heart. We are not to let this sin of bitterness creep up. And remember, greater is he that is in us than that is in the world, right? We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. We can defeat the power of bitterness with the power of God. He is more mighty than that. So today we're going to look here at breaking free from bitterness. Number one, I want you to see here are some causes of bitterness, all right? Some causes of bitterness. In Proverbs 14:10, the Bible says, "The heart knoweth its own bitterness." Right, that's our heart. Our heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. You see, we got saved at whatever moment that was. You got the Holy Spirit of God coming and living in you. But, you know, God didn't take us to heaven when we got saved. He left us here, and we still have this old man, okay? We still have the flesh, right? We still have those fleshly desires that our old man, that person that I was before I got saved, still wants to do, right? We still have the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. We still have those going on in our life. But the Bible's talking about a heart right here. Our heart knoweth his own bitterness, right? We know Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yes, that is our hearts that we're talking about. That is that heart that the world says, hey, we're to follow our heart. But God says, no, you don't follow your heart. It'll lead to destruction. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Right? Bitterness is often hidden within, deep within that heart. Okay? It begins as a small seed, and if left unchecked, it grows into a deep root. Now, I've lived in houses. The last two houses we've lived in had big oak trees in it. You know, oak trees, they drop those acorns. One day you go out there, the acorns are fine, but you go out there the next day, and it's got a big old root into the ground, and it's already sprung a tree growing. That fast, right? That's what we're talking about here. Like bitterness, that root of bitterness. In James chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." You see, that root of bitterness can lie in that heart. It can lie in there, and it can grow. It can grow a root, and it can spring a root, and it can be hidden for a period of time. It can't be hidden forever. Eventually, that bitterness within that heart is going to come out. We know that. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It can't stay hidden for long. And bitterness is harbored in the hearts of those who are not right with God. Okay. Like I said, I mentioned a minute ago, people who have bitterness in their heart, people who have bitterness in their life, are not people who are being led of the Spirit. Okay, they're not people who are filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us we're to be filled with the Spirit, constantly telling us not to walk in the flesh, to be filled with the Spirit, not the flesh. But bitter people are going to be those people that are filled with the flesh. They're not filled with the Spirit. If you flip over to Deuteronomy chapter number 29. Look over there in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Just looking here at some causes of bitterness here. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, look there at verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 18. The Bible says here, "Lest there should be among you man or woman, or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God." Again, we're talking about the heart again. That's where our root of bitterness is. We're talking about our heart. "Whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. You see, that heart, again, it's right there in the heart. Right? It's that person that has turned his heart away from the God, from the one true God, Jehovah. You turn your heart away from God, and you turn your heart into the world. All right? You focused on the things of the world, the money, the fame, the pleasures of this world. You're seeking a new God. You're seeking new idols, right? As our memory verse, right? We are to be reminded not to make idols, but we're reminded that we're not to worship and bow down to them. And many people all over this world bow down to gods and they don't even realize it. Right? They're bowing down to money, right? They're bowing down to things that they buy with their money, and they're bowing down to things in this world that are all going to burn up and die. They're all going to burn up and die, and we're turning our hearts from God. You see, that's whenever that root of bitterness comes in. When we leave ourselves wide open, we've turned away from God, we leave ourselves wide open, that root of bitterness in the heart. You see, the Bible warns us and tells us over and over that we cannot know our hearts. The only one who can really know our heart is God. And so what do we need to do? We need to ask God daily to search our heart. Right? Search me, O God. The Holy Spirit is the one who can search our heart. He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse number 10. You can turn to it there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'll show you here. And look there in verse number 10. Talking about here, the Holy Spirit searches us. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. In verse number 10, it says here, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." See, the Spirit knows us. The Spirit knows our heart. He can search us. Right? He can convict us of what? Sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit knows our heart. Now, a lot of times when we're dealing with bitterness, we find a person who has been maybe it's been mistreated, something's happened in their life, and what happens is that person starts dwelling on it, right? They replay it over and over in their mind, and every time that they go to a place or they hear a certain name, they're reminded, and they play that over and over again in their mind, and that leads to bitterness. So the warning here is that we must guard our hearts. All right, we must guard our hearts. Be filled with the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that searches our hearts, searches the deep things of us, searches our heart. He convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so, as we're walking with the Lord, and those temptations of the devil come upon us, hey, we're quick to rely on the Spirit. But many people deal with this because of hurt feelings, okay? Hurt feelings, and it could have been a deliberate thing. It could have even been an accidental thing, and that person doesn't even know or isn't even aware of it, right? But the devil's going to be quick to point that out to you. He's going to be quick to put that in your ear, right? He's going to be quick to put that name in front of you every time, because the devil knows he can destroy you, and he can destroy the church by a root of bitterness creeping up, okay? But also by hate. You know, people allow that hate into their heart. And every time, like I mentioned, every time they hear their name, that hate comes. That root of bitterness grows. Right? Hey, if there's a name mentioned, anybody here have a name? Somebody mentions the name of somebody, do we have bitterness in our heart for that person? So other people can become bitter because of situations, circumstances. Helplessness, not being able to change a circumstance, for instance. I remember we had a family member who was in Vietnam War and did a lot of, you know, was in the war. And so they couldn't get over that what they had to do in the war and you know, and trying to witness to him and everything. And he would say, "I don't know how God could forgive me for what we had to do when we were in the war, you know." But hey, circumstances can cause a person to become bitter, and hey, jealousy as well. Jealousy, envy, those types of things, words spoken, okay? We looked last week at those words, at that gossip, okay?
If you would, turn over to
James. We'll look at that again in James chapter 3. Right, a lot of people
will gossip, right? We looked gossiping last week, and so gossiping can lead
to people becoming bitter when you're gossiping about somebody. But in Proverbs 18:21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? That's this tongue. That is our mouth. And then as you're turning to James chapter number 3, look there and starting in verse number 5, you see the tongue has great power. Okay, we need to realize that. Gilead Baptist Church, we need to realize there is a lot of power in our tongue. All right, there is a lot of power. We can do a lot of good with our tongue, but we can do a lot of evil and bad in our tongue. Death and life are in the tongue. But in James chapter 3, look there at verse 5. He says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. Get that? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. You see, that little tongue of ours can defile our whole body. It can destroy our whole body. It says, he goes on here and says, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Everlasting fire, right? Verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Can you agree with that? Is that true or is that true?
That is true. That is God's Word. And God's Word pinpoints the very truth of the matter on the tongue. The tongue, it is deadly. It is full of deadly poison. It is a fire. It can do good, but dear friend, it can do a lot of evil and wicked as well. Our words are powerful. Our words spoken can cause bitterness, okay? But we also need to realize people also have bitterness in their life because of wounds, things that have happened to them. They've been hurt, okay? Let's flip over to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. I hope you have your flipper ready because we're going to flip. Psalm 55, look there in verse number 12. Psalm 55, look there in verses 12 and 13. All right? Psalm 55, verse 12 says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was, verse 13, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. Hey, a lot of times it's those people that are closest to us that hurt us the most.
You realize that? Those that we get close with, right?
Those that are closest to us hurt us the most. A parent wound, a child wound, a friend wound. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
There's a reason for that, right? There's a reason, right?
We're not to provoke our children to wrath, all right? Because wounds, all right? Wounds. But see, the underlying sin, underlying issue we're talking about when we're dealing with bitterness is going to be pride, okay? It's going to be pride every time. Pride, right?
We're too busy focused inward and we're not focused outward.
That pride thing, right?
You can go all the way back to Satan with pride. I
want this. I want that. I want to be like the Most High God, right? I want, right? And so when we are
very prideful people, we're always looking at ourselves. Looking at what I can get, looking at what would do me better, look how it could profit me, right?
Instead of looking out, all right? We need to be looking out. We come to church, we're not to be sitting here, what am I going to get out of church today? What are you all going to do for me today?
No, we need, that's looking in, that's prideful. We need to be looking out. Remember, we read those verses last week as well. What am I to do? I'm to be an encouragement, right, to others. I'm to encourage others, right?
I'm to encourage. Hebrews 10:25, 10:23, 10:24, 10:25, right in there. I'm to encourage the brethren, okay? But when we come
When we become prideful, we're always looking in.
In James chapter 4, in verse number 6, the Bible says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble."
You see, that's the key, is grace. Right? Grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. Right? Grace. God's grace is great. God's grace. We all want grace, right? Would you agree? Y'all want grace?
We want grace. We want God's grace, but here's the thing. We don't want to give it to others, do we?
We want forgiveness of our sins all day long, but we don't want to forgive those that sinned against us. Right? We want grace, but we don't want to give it. We want to claim that grace of God, but it seems so hard to pass it on. Why?
Because of that pride. It's that pride in us. You've got to lose the pride. Quit looking at yourself. Otherwise, you're going to become bitter. You're going to become bitter. You're going to have that root that's going to spring up.
Think about this for a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, Creator of all things, who created you and I, He went to the cross of Calvary for salvation for all people. Think about this for a minute. Was Jesus Christ ever wrong? Was He ever wrong? Was He ever mocked and ridiculed and beaten? Was He ever wrong? Right? Did He have reason to be bitter about to people? He was beaten. He was mocked. His beard was ripped out. Okay? All the things that He went through for you and I, but yet He didn't have bitterness in His heart. He didn't. He didn't have bitterness in His heart. Right? You and I, a little wind blows the wrong way. Oh, I'm offended now. Oh, that creature, I walked right by him and he didn't even shake my hand. Oh, did you see what brother so-and-so said? Or did you see what he did? Brother so-and-so, you know, and then you're offended. But Jesus Christ, our God, He is our example in the Word of God. We are to resemble our lives after Him. The Holy Spirit's working in our lives to make us more like Him. Okay, we're to submit to Him. We're to submit to His Word. And the teaching is in His Word is this. In Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Right? You see, we're to forgive. We're to forgive that brethren. We're to forgive that sister. We're to forgive that person that is offended. Why? Because if you don't forgive, that root of bitterness is going to creep up and it's going to destroy us. Right?
That's some causes. There's more, but that's what we have for today. Secondly, I want you to see here the results of bitterness. I want you to see the results of bitterness.
If you could flip back to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12.
Right, looking here now at some results of this bitterness in our text verse of Hebrews chapter 12 in verse number 15 there. It says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby, again, many be defiled."
Now that, let me give you a definition here of bitterness. Bitter means having a sharp or pungent taste or smell, not sweet. Okay, it's not sweet.
Secondly, it's causing pain or unhappiness. Is anybody bitter yet? Do you have any bitterness going on? Thirdly, it's feeling anger, feeling hurt, or feelings of resentment. Okay? Do we have any bitterness in our heart? And it also means, fourthly, having ill feelings.
Having ill feelings towards somebody. Right? So if I say the name John Smith, and you're like, "Oh, John Smith," you know, then you get that root of bitterness, right? We have ill feelings. But bitterness is really my perceived
personal right to harbor ill feelings, basically because of what somebody did to me, right? Instead of forgiving, like the Bible teaches us, I've harbored that unforgiveness in my heart, and it has allowed resentment, it has allowed more pride to grow in my heart, and out of that, bitterness grows towards that person. And it's defiled many. Many have left the church, many have quit church,
many have quit serving God, and they say, "Well, I quit serving the Lord because so and so. Now I have a reason to quit serving the Lord."
No, you don't. No, you don't. Let all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking be put far away from you, right? Put it out. We're to not hold that in our heart. We're to forgive. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is what Jesus said. But bitterness is something that we need to realize. We need to search our heart. We need to realize because it will eat you up. It will literally kill you. It will eat you up. It will cause many health issues. But here's where I'm getting at with this. All bitterness leads back to God. Think about that for a minute. I'm going to give you something here. All bitterness leads back to God. And what I'm getting at here is people will say this. They'll say, why did God take my spouse? Why did God allow that to happen in my life? Why did God take our baby? Why did God allow me to lose my job? Why did God this? Right? So that's what I'm getting. A lot of times we see bitterness, but bitterness is really, it all leads back to God. It all leads back to you and God. You have allowed that root of bitterness in your life for whatever has happened, and you blame God. You see, the underlying issue is not the pastor. It's not the preacher. It's not a spouse. It's not a family member. It's not a co-worker. It's not a friend. If you're bitter, it comes down between you and the Lord. Okay? It's a choice that you've made. It comes down to you and the Lord. Remember, bitterness is a root sin. It's a root sin, okay? And if it's not checked, if it's not put in check, if you're not guarding your heart, if you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in the flesh, that root sin, you know what happened to that acorn? That roots go like this, and they go everywhere. Right? That root of bitterness in your heart has now done this, and it's defiled the whole body. We need to be on it, repenting of it, turning from it, asking God to cleanse me of it. I want you to notice this here. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want to give you a couple of verses here that I think would be good for you and I here today on dealing with bitterness here. In Colossians chapter 3. Remember GE Phone Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter number 3. Read a couple of verses here, but look at verse 18. Colossians chapter 3. Look there at verse number 18 to start. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Right? Here we go, right here. Wives, we know, wives, we are to submit to your husbands. Not because he's good looking, not because he's sweet, not because he's worthy of it, but why? As it is fit in the Lord. Because it's the Lord's will. It's His design. He's saying wives need to submit to the husband. The husband is the head of the home. The husband will answer for how he led his home. And the wife is to submit to the husband. But get verse 19. But get verse 19 here. And then he says, husbands, love your wives. And get this. And be not bitter against them. As I'm reading over this and over it, I'm like, that's just kind of, why is that there? Right? Why does he say, wives, submit, and then husbands, love your wives, and then it's in there, he says, and be not bitter against them. Well, let me tell you, husbands, why? Because it could be easy to become bitter with your wife. Right? Whenever you become looking in, you're prideful. Okay, you're not walking in the Spirit. You become prideful, and you start nitpicking everything. Well, my wife doesn't this. My wife doesn't submit. My wife doesn't bring me coffee first thing in the morning. My wife doesn't make me breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right? When you start nitpicking things your wife doesn't do and everything, he just says here, we're to love your wives. Wives are to submit. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I think that's just interesting to note there in the house, in the home with the husband and the wife, and if any one of them two become bitter with each other, the house is going to crumble. The house is going to fall, and bitterness will destroy the house. The devil will use the bitterness of a husband, the bitterness of a wife, and it will destroy the house, the family. So men, if I am not the husband or the father and the leader I need to be, is it because I'm bitter with my wife? Is it because I'm bitter? There are also many wives who are bitter with their husbands as well, but hey, we just need to take heed. We need to notice this. A lot of problems in the home stem from bitterness. A lot of problems will stem from one of them being bitter and not willing to submit to each other. You know, submission is one of those things. It messes with my pride. Right? I can't be prideful and submit. Right? I have to be humble. He says in James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? So we're to submit, wife, submit to your husband, but we're also to submit ourselves to God. But submitting in this life and in this flesh is not easy. Husbands, look at your wives. Wives, look at your husbands. She has the hardest job. She's got to submit to you. That's hard in itself. She's got to submit to you. Now, my wife has it easy. I mean, sweet. Like, you just see sweetness, right? Radiating. Amen. I didn't hear any amens. We got quiet. Right? But hey, I just want you to notice here, we're to submit ourselves to God. Okay? He says in James 4:7, and remember, the devil cannot have power over you, only what you allow him. There in 1 John 4:4, he says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We all have a choice, don't we? Just kind of like this morning, we talked about, the rich man in hell, and he had a choice, and you and I have a choice. We can choose Jesus Christ, or we can reject him. We all have a choice, right? We go about life, and things are going to come at us. We have a choice how we take them. It's a choice. But part of that choice is controlling our thoughts. If you could be turning over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, right? We know Paul wrote at least half of the New Testament, okay? Paul was a man who persecuted the Christians and put them to death and put them in prison, and he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He got saved, and it changed his life. He went into Damascus, a saved man, and he went into Damascus, a persecuted man. So the persecutor becomes the persecuted. And we know that Paul went through a lot of things. But he says this in 2 Corinthians 10. Look there, a couple of verses here. Let's look at verse 3. He gives us a warning, right? He gives us a warning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Right? Every thought. What are we thinking about throughout the day? What are we looking at through the TV or the internet or even the things that are around us that we're bringing into our eye gates, that are bringing into our soul and into our heart? What are we looking at? What is coming into our soul and our heart and our minds and our bodies? Every thought we're to be bringing to the obedience of Christ. Right? Is what we're looking at pulling us to Christ, or is it pulling us away from Christ? And everything that we bring in and look at on the internet, is it bringing us to Christ? Is it making us closer? Are we having a closer walk because of it? Or is it filling our flesh? Are we filling the spirit, or are we filling the flesh? Okay? It's one or the other. You see, we just need to understand that a lot of spiritual problems today are because of the fact that we're not filled with the Spirit. We're filled too much of the flesh. We're filled too much of the world. And when that happens, it's kind of like this, right? Here's the walking with the Spirit. Here's over here, you're walking with the flesh, and you're walking away from the Word and the church and the goodness of God. And you're out here, and there's no, you all can throw whatever you want at me and hit me. Right? The devil can do the same. I'm a weak lion, or a weak deer out here, and the lion's ready to pounce on me and attack. That devil is going about seeking whom he can devour. He's seeking that weak link again. Remember this, that weak person who's not in the Word, not reading the Bible, not fellowshipping with the brethren, not faithful to church, not praying. All those basic, you say that's basic. Yes, that's basic. Right? But like I said, when you play sports, you just teach them the fundamentals a lot of the times.
Right? You need to master the fundamentals. The fundamentals of Christianity are you get saved, you get baptized, and you get in the Word. You get in, and join a church, and you get in the Word, and you just grow in the Lord. You continue on, just like the Bible says in the book of Acts, right? But that's what happens a lot of times is we get so filled with the world and the flesh, and we get away from the Lord. And a lot of times that those sins of that's when those sins of gossip comes in, the sin of bitterness comes in, and it defiles us. So I got to give you the third point here. I'm going to show you here how to overcome bitterness. How to overcome bitterness. If you flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And you're going to tell me, oh, this is fundamental. Yes. Yes. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted." You get this right here. Forgiving one another. You get that? Forgiving one another. That can be difficult at times. But as Jesus forgave, we're to forgive also. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So here we go. How to overcome bitterness, how to defeat bitterness, right here. First of all, you gotta acknowledge it. Right? You gotta acknowledge it. You gotta admit it. You gotta see it. You gotta have you gotta see that the Holy Spirit convicting you of bitterness in your heart, and whenever you see it, you gotta confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It's fundamental. You agree? It's fundamental. Right? If we confess it, He will forgive us. He'll forgive us, right? Now that word confess, it means to say the same thing as another or in agreement with. Right? So we have to be in agreement with God. Okay? You get me? Right? God calls it drunkenness. Nowhere in the Bible is it called alcoholism. Right? It's drunkenness. Okay? We gotta call it what God calls it. Just telling the Lord that you are bitter is a generic way to go about it, and that's not gonna get it. That is basically cutting down the weed without getting the root. Right? We need to confess that sin, call it what it is, alright? Whatever that bitterness is, whoever it's with, you gotta call it what it is and get down and get that whole root and pull that whole big old root. Right? Pull it all out. Now I've seen some pretty big long roots on some garden plants, right? I used to have a garden and I would have these big old tomato plants and at the end of the year I'd be ripping them out and those roots just went everywhere. Now, how did a tomato plant get roots like this? They were everywhere, right? But roots, right? We got to get all of that root of bitterness out, okay? We got to confess that, name it, get power over it. Turn to Psalm 32. Turn over to Psalm 32. Look at verse number 5. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 5 says, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid." Right? David's confession. "I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Right? Confession brings about what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Flip over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Look there in verse number 2. Again, David, confession of his sin. After he had sinned with Bathsheba, Psalm 51 verse 2 says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." And I want you to get this here in verse 4. It says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight." Okay? want you to see all sin is against God. You get that?
All sin is against God, so that means bitterness is against God. All right, so we need to acknowledge it. We need to confess it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Until we get that down, we're not going to have forgiveness. We got to acknowledge it, confess it, and then we got to forgive. We got to forgive. You get that? Jesus forgave. We got to forgive. I know that can be tough at times, but we got to forgive. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is taking it off of the account. We all want forgiveness. We all want forgiveness of our sin. But sometimes it can be hard to forgive others. But we need to do like Jesus says. In Matthew 6:14, the Bible says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And you know what else you got to do? You got to pray. You got to pray for them. In Job, the book of Job, I don't have time to go into all the details now, but we know Job lost everything he had, all right? His kids, his livestock, his money, he lost it all. And in Job chapter 42, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." Remember at the end there, his friends came and stared at him for 7 days, didn't say a word. But when Job prayed for his friends, that's when things began to change. And we know that from there, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And then from there, you got to ask God for His grace. You got to ask Him for His grace. James 4:6 says, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." 1 Peter 5:5 says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Same thing, right? God's going to resist you if you're proud. You come to Him, He's going to give grace to the humble. We all need grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's turn over there. I'm almost finished. So if you could flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want you to see this here. Dealing with grace. And like I was mentioning earlier with Paul, Paul went through a lot. He had a lot going on. And he had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked God to take that from him. He went through many storms and trials and tribulations. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse number 9, I want you to see this. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Hey, is that enough for you here today? Is His whatever happens, whatever you're going through, is His grace sufficient for you today? Is it? He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In verse 10, he says, "Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see, we, by His grace, with Him, through Him, can have the strength to get through whatever we go through in this life. Whether it's a sin, whether it's a gossip, whether it's a bitterness, whether it's storms and trials, God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace to the humble. God's grace. That's God's grace. That is the amazing grace that we sing about. So I'm just about finished here. So you cannot control what people do to you, but you can control how you respond. I want you to think about that. You can't control what's done to you, but you can control how you respond. So after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a lady in Kentucky who took him to the remains of a big old tree in front of her house. And there she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least to sympathize with her loss. But after a brief silence, Lee said this. He said, "Cut it down." He said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. It's better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain, and to allow them to remain and let bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life." You see, bitterness is bondage. But when you let it go, when you get free of it, what a joy it is to be set free from it.
Hey, do you need to be broken free of bitterness today? Hey, why not break the chain and be set free today? All you got to do is confess it. Give it to the Lord. Forsake it. Turn from it. Give it to Him. Forgive. 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 We all need His grace. We all need forgiveness. Won't you be free of the chain today? Let's pray.